You've got a little time left to get your hands on the new seasonal strain from our friends and sponsors at Imperial Organic Yeast. W04 Paramount is a specialized wine strain perfect for seltzer fermentations. Imperial W04 Paramount is available now through the end of February. You know we love Imperial Organic Yeast. My stir plate is dusty because I don't make starters anymore for moderate gravity 5-gallon batches. With a pitch rate of 200 billion cells per easy-to-open packet, my airlocks are usually bubbling before bedtime. Ask your local homebrew store for Imperial Organic Yeast and check them out at imperialyeast.com. That's imperialyeast.com. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, February 18th, 2021. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about homebrewing. This week, Steve Wilkes and I tackle what may be my favorite hop sampler so far. Three Swedish hops, graciously sent to us by listener Marcus in Sweden. Delicious beers and goofy conversation. If you go to basicbrewing.com, you can find archives of our audio and video shows. And if you go to basicbrewingshop.com, you can find our DVDs and our brewer's logbooks. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Basic Brewing and find our show page on Facebook as well. If you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing. Many thanks to everybody who's helping out in that way. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter. This past Friday, I posted a video episode to the public of Steve's Cherry Pie Tart Ale. That was a delicious beer. And that was the third show that we shot on that day. And financial supporters got to see that one a week in advance and have the recipe delivered to them. This coming Friday, supporters will see the second episode that we shot on that day about my coconut midnight wheat stout. You may remember the malt sampler that we did with the dark malts. And midnight wheat, I think, was my favorite of that round. So I brewed a 2-gallon batch with Maris Otter as the base malt and added 100 grams of toasted sweetened coconut in the secondary. It turned out really well. And Susan said I can brew that one anytime I want to, and she wouldn't complain at all. It got cold around here a couple mornings ago. It got down to 20 below zero Fahrenheit in Fayetteville. That's minus 29 in Celsius, which sounds more impressive. And I believe it's an all-time record here in Northwest Arkansas. Now, I know that folks like Bob Stimsky in Wisconsin just chuckle at temperatures like that, but it really gets our attention down here, and I hope everybody is okay and keeping warm because there have been rolling blackouts in some areas. So I'm not going to break out my electric brewing system anytime soon. I'm going to let the snow, clear off the patio a little bit. But I do love my awesome electric brewing system that I got from our friends and sponsors, Desiree and Dave from High Gravity in Tulsa. As you know, mine is the 240-volt single-vessel brew-to-bag system with the Warthog EBC-130 controller. And it usually does great in cold weather. That cold wind can blow and the heat stays inside the kettle, inside the wort, where the boil coil is. Back in the day, I remember building little windbreaks around my propane burner to try to get that kettle up to a boil on cold and windy days. And that's dangerous, too. Any potential source for a disaster show story. I also used to wrap my mash in old quilts and blankets to try to maintain something resembling a stable rest temperature. But now, with my Warthog controller, it keeps the temperature rock solid while I'm inside toasty warm. It's like a brew buddy who watches the kettle and doesn't drink your beer. In many ways, an electric system from highgravitybrew.com can take the pain out of propane with a setup that's tailored to your needs. From 5 gallons to 2 barrels, a single-vessel system like mine, to a more traditional 2 or 3-vessel system, you can find out what you need at family-owned and operated highgravitybrew.com. That's highgravitybrew.com. Okay, this is a fairly long one, episode, that is, and Steve and I giggled quite a bit with this one. Thanks to Google Translate, the hop descriptors are a bit more clumsy than usual this time. But these Swedish hops made this one of my favorite samplers. Steve Wilkes, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thanks. Wait a minute. Let me start that over again.
I better leave it in.
Okay. Steve, I blew my line.
Okay. Steve Wilkes, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thanks, James. It's good to be back.
It makes you more human.
I forgot where I was at. I'm even at my own store. I forgot. I was like, where am I?
You've taken one sip of beer.
I know. I was confused. I wasn't sure if I was at your place or my place. And then I had to look around.
Boy, these Swedish hops are something else.
Well, I'm telling you.
So you're in the office of Steve'sBrewShop.com in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Fayetteville.
And
land of the snowy sidewalk.
Yeah. Yeah, I posted the other day on Facebook a picture of some little icicles, you know, on my porch railing, and you know, I said brr, and Bob Stemsky laughed at it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Oh yeah. Geez, that's June.
Oh yeah. We're getting ready to do a fish fry up here.
Oh, we get those icicles in June.
Well, my relations in Kansas, it's like 5 degrees in Kansas City, and we're at like 18 or 19 right now, I think, and as of this taping. And all I know is 18 degrees in Arkansas is much colder than 5 degrees in Kansas City or even 5 degrees below in Wisconsin. I'm just telling you, it's colder. Documented fact.
It's relative.
It's all relative.
Well, so far we're 2 minutes in and we haven't said anything about what we're doing today, but it's par for the course.
Yeah,
these we're doing something special. These are hops from Sweden, and we have
grown. Is that right?
They're from Sweden. Yes, they're grown and packaged and shipped from Sweden. And we have to say a big thank you to and Marcus wants to hear me try to pronounce his name and where he's from. Marcus Sandquist from Åtvidaberg, Sweden. So maybe I got some of that right. We'll just call him Marcus from Sweden. Marcus emailed me a while back and said, hey, would you like to have some hops from Sweden to play with? And I said, well, yes, please. Yes, I would. You don't hear much about hops from Sweden, but Marcus says that hops have been grown in Sweden since at least the 1200s. Sweden is a small producer of hops and only has a few commercial growers. So this is a very special thing. Marcus sent me 100 grams each of these hops. And they are two of them, and this is a first. Not only is it a first that we have hops from Sweden, but it's a first that one of these hops was a whole cone, and the other two are pellets. So this is the first hop sampler that we will have used whole cones. So it'll be interesting to see if we can pick out the one that is different and mm-hmm. what those qualities are and such as that. So I always start out these hop samplers by telling how I go about doing this. I start off with 3 quarts or about 3 liters of water, and then I add 1 pound or 450 grams of Pilsen light dry malt extract, and I just bring that up to the boil, and I shut off the heat, and then I add the prescribed amount of hops to the wort, and then I let that sit for 10 minutes, chill that down with an ice bath, and then pitch 3 grams of Safiel US05. Now, I made 3 different six-packs. So the first six-pack that I made was 28 grams of Hulla Norgard. I hope I'm pronouncing that properly. Hulla Norgard at 7.8% alpha acid. The second batch was 28 grams of Korsta, K-O-R-S-T-A, at 8.9% alpha acid. And then the third one was 28 grams of Svalof Maritz. That's S-V-A-L-O-F-M-A-U-R-I-T-Z. I felt like I'm in a spelling bee. And I don't know, and I couldn't figure out the alpha acid on that package. So those are the three hops. And my wife and I bottled these and put the theory is that we put one Cooper's carbonation drop in each bottle and then capped them. And then, you know, after they conditioned for a while, Susan randomized these and put duct tape on the lids and put one, two, and three. So we don't know what we're tasting. And right. It's all randomized, and we have descriptors that we're going to read out, or you're going to read out, and then we got to figure out what's what. So did I leave anything out? I should just pre-record this first part of the, so I won't have to say it every time.
Well, but then you know there's subtle changes over time.
Well, that's true. So here we have three beers sitting in front of us, and the first one that we poured, you and I both have a lack of carbonation, so I'm just wondering what happened there, and I'm just afraid that batch might not have gotten a carbonation drop in the bottle that round. Not sure.
Yeah.
So that may be a quality control mishap there. So it's kind of flat, but still tasty. And you were commenting that you thought that the malt character was different on this batch of beers than from previous hop samples.
Yeah, I don't know what I assumed when I started tasting the three beers. Just kind of pre-tasting the first beer, which is flat. I mean, there's no carbonation at all. But it's the body of the beer is very light, and the color of the beer is very light, like it's just Pilsner malt, which of course they all are. But I didn't really know that. I didn't really catch on to that until we talked about it again, because the other two beers are somewhat darker in color, and they have more malt character to my palate, which I guess in theory they shouldn't have, but. I'll swear they've got a little bit of crystal malt or Munich malt or something in them. I'll swear they do.
I wonder if it's just the body from the carbonation kind of tickling your tongue a little more or, you know, giving you the illusion of more, you know, finishing gravity.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just about got to be that. I would say that the difference in color is not my imagination because I can – quantify that pretty easily, but yeah, I was really surprised. In fact, I don't know what my mind was on, but I for some reason thought he had sent you Finnish beers that you had.
No, they're Swedish beers. They're not Finnish. Yeah. They're not Finnish beers. They're Swedish.
Yeah,
beers.
I mean, oh, God, that's right.
Just a little geographical humor there.
Yeah. I walked right into that one.
Marcus just sent the hops, and and so I've got 100 minus 28 left. So if you like, some of these, I can share them with you, and you can play with them as well.
They're all tasty beers. Well, number one, let's just talk about its merits, forgetting that it's flat as a pancake. It really it does have a nice flavor. The hops are there, nicely in balance with the beer. They don't particularly pop out at you. I think they're definitely all three of these are definitely old world hops. Meaning, I don't pick up any grapefruit pine. They're very floral and fluty. That would be the football player. they're very Doug Flutie. They're very fruity, but in a really restrained kind of way, a very understated sort of way. And that's what I get from the first beer. And if it were carbonated, I'm sure it would be even better.
Yeah, the first one, I would say that. Now, the other two, I think, are fruit bombs, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But not necessarily citrus fruit bombs. But the first one, I think, is I really like the hop character. And I'm trying to maybe floral is a good descriptor. Kind of there's a spice to it. That's just there's a little bit of a pear, maybe, or grapey peary kind of a thing, or apple maybe.
Yeah,
of course.
I tend to think of those things though not as I tend to pick those flavors up more as of the fragrance of the flower, meaning the sweetness of an apple orchard or the sweetness of an orange orchard, something like that, rather than eating, you know, or biting into an apple or biting into a grape or a pear. I tend to pick it up as a more floral, more nuanced flavor.
I'm almost to the bottom of this. And of course, I didn't pour the whole bottle in this one sample, but I'm nearly done with this. It's really, really delicious. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to stick with kind of pear. Maybe a little bit of grape, but either pear or borderline kind of apple.
Yeah.
Not as far as being like an apple cider kind of a thing. But just that,
right.
just a hint on my tongue. Very good. Whatever it is, it's a delicious hop. Now,
yeah, it is.
Now I reached out or I Googled these hop varieties, and I didn't find anything in the way of English language descriptors. So I went on to the website of the Swedish University of Agricultural Sciences, and everything's in Swedish on there. So I took the descriptors of each of these hops and I pasted them into Google Translate. So if we come up with some weird weird phraseology,
yeah,
it's because of Google Translate. So I sent you the Word document. So that you can, if you're up for it, you can read the descriptors, and it's mostly these descriptors are mostly history of the varieties with a bit of descriptor at the end.
Okay, great.
So, yeah. Julie, you want to start with the first one?
This is now going to be in English translated from the Swedish,
right?
Svavlof Moritz. This is a hop. At the initiative of hop farm master Moritz Paulin, during the interwar period in Skåne, a breeding project was started in Svavlof to produce hop varieties that ripened earlier than the one already grown in the Nasum area. In this way, they wanted to create a more prolonged picking and, above all, drying time.
I had an infection in my nasum area one time, but that's another story.
Yeah. Just hope you had time for picking. Other goals with the breeding were, for example, that the cones should be evenly distributed throughout the plant and that they should be easy to pick. The most promised intersection had the number 85. Yeah, that's always promising. My dad used to play at a strip club called the Club 85. It was promising back in the day, Pueblo, Colorado, and was named after the hop farm master, Moritz 85. Actually, it was named after Sheila. She was an 85. It was a variety that most hop growers in the Nasum area then also grew. In 1927, there were 78 growers in Nasum. By 1950, the number had decreased to 51 growers, but the quantity of plants and sturgeons.
See, I'm not sure that sturgeons have anything to do with this, but well, that's a word that keeps popping up.
I like it, though. Plants and sturgeons at the same time was the highest ever. You got to respect that. I mean, you just got to. There were 34,000 sturgeons. I mean, that's a lot of sturgeon.
That's a lot of fish.
That's a lot of fish. Think of the caviar coming out of there. In 1955, the annual delivery from Nasum was at its highest. The harvest was 8,000 kilos of dry hops, which corresponded to 2% of the country's total hop needs at that time. They say nothing about caviar.
Now here comes the good, here comes the meaty part.
Okay. In test brewing, the cones give an excellent beer with a floral, that's what I think, floral and herbal spicy aroma. The taste was judged to be floral with undertones of citrus and grape and herbal spiciness. Dry hops gave a particularly distinctive beer with aroma of mushroom, cheese, and leather.
That's your house on the weekend.
Well, yeah.
It has a distinctive aroma of mushroom, cheese, and leather.
Woo! we have some great parties. The taste was described as floral and herbal and spicy.
Okay, so that was Svalaf Moritz.
Svalaf Moritz.
Taste of citrus, grape, and herbal spicy. Dry. When you dry hopped it, it has the aroma of mushroom, cheese, and leather. And the taste is floral and herbal slash spicy.
Yep.
So, interesting. Let's talk about our friends and sponsors, Ricky and Kelly at Groenfell Meadery in Vermont. Ricky says they're all caught up on brewing. He says Groenfell now has all of their specials available at the same time. Groenfell has Bright Eyed, Oaked Valkyrie's Choice, Chaos Sizer, and Winter Warmer for folks who want to make a mix pack of Groenfell's special releases. It's something that Ricky thought would never happen. So you can take advantage of this rare opportunity and go on Groenfell.com and select these delicious honey-based beverages, along with other tempting things, and have them sent to you if you live in the states that Groenfell delivers to all across the country. I love Groenfell and Havoc Meads. They're really drinkable, most of them sessionable, and they come in handy aluminum cans that you can take with you as you enjoy a nice winter hike. Just remember to pack the cans back out, which I know that you're going to do anyway. Check out all the special, delicious meads now available at family-owned and operated Groenfell.com. That's Groenfell. Okay, beer number two.
Beer number two.
Wow. Beer number two
beer a lot.
Is a lot. The hop character is a lot stronger to me.
Yeah, but I don't get any bitterness from. I don't get it. It isn't a bitter beer at all.
No, no. But
I do get a nice hop character from it.
Yeah. Of course, the way these are hopped, you know, putting all the hops in just that hop stand for 10 minutes, you know, you're not going to extract a ton of bitterness. There is a solid level of bitterness. It's not a sweet beer.
Mm-hmm. No.
But the fruit character.
I think it's really well. I think it's just in balance, which is a nice balance with itself.
Mm-hmm.
To balance with the malt. I get kind of pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Little peppery notes. I hate to say this because I know it's been planted, but it gets kind of leathery. There's kind of a leather, you know, thing going in there a little bit.
I get grapey. Again, I mentioned in the first one, but I get grapey again. It's really good. I mean, if so,
I like it a lot.
I could drink a whole pint of this with no problem at all.
And, yeah, I could real easily. I'd like to make a good pale ale out of this.
And you could make a really excellent New England IPA out of this hop.
Yeah, but you know, I was tasting it. I kind of taste it more in a, or the beer that came to mind would be a really nice bitter, like an extra strong bitter, even an ordinary bitter. Something with a really nice toffee, kind of that British backbone of malt, I just think would play really nice with this hop.
Huh. I get more. So you're not getting I described 2 and 3 as fruit bombs. They're not necessarily as fruit bomby as I earlier thought. But you don't get a lot of fruit out of number 2?
Yeah, I do, but it's not fresh fruit. I get more like a it's more subdued. It's more subtle.
Hmm.
I get like a dried fruit. Like a candied fruit.
Huh. Interesting.
I don't get real bright flavors from any of these beers. I get more of a quiet, nuanced flavors from them. So they taste more like herbal and somewhat fruity in that way than they do of a bright fresh fruit flavor.
Hmm. Now
for me.
Now I agree that I don't get citrus.
No, I don't get these. Yeah,
in these.
But even that. But I don't get that. I don't get, you know, like fresh melon. Or fresh apple or fresh pear, I don't get that. I get it as though it were dried, like the fruits have been dried, which, you know, brings a different flavor profile to that same product, and that's what I get from them. I get a little bit more like it's like a Ricola cough drop. But not that strong. I don't mean it's, you know, I don't mean that you're sucking on a Ricola and drinking a beer, but it's very herbal in that way.
Yeah, it isn't Ricola. I mean, I can't remember the last time I had a Ricola, but isn't that kind of licorice-y, kind of anise-y?
Yeah, it is. But it's got a lot of kind of savory, herbal flavors in there, and there's so many flavors you can't really figure out what's going on, but it's very subdued. Other than that, you're right, there is an anise licorice-y kind of thing that's quite strong, but all the background notes are really complicated and really kind of cool.
And you're talking about the cough drop now.
I'm talking about the cough drop. So I kind of get those background notes. This is so convoluted. That's what it reminds me of, is the cough drop, but it's the background notes of the cough drop. That's what I get in the hops in this beer.
Hmm. Okay, I can see that. I went back and tasted number 1, and I stand by my apple-y, pear-y, grape-y descriptor of number 1.
Yeah.
Number 2 is more kind of a general fruit. I can't put my finger on the fruit that I'm tasting, but it is, to me, it's fruity.
Yeah, it's fruit. Yeah, it is.
But I can't like put my finger on a fruit. You know, I can't say this is the fruit I'm tasting. It's more like a, you know, fruit candy, a generic. Is it fruit punch? I don't know.
It's Ricola.
I haven't coughed since I've tasted it. So
see, and your throat feels better.
And I have the urge to you know, through one of those really long Alpen horns. So maybe there's something in that.
The yodel.
Hmm.
Okay. Well.
Hop descriptor.
It's a very good beer.
Hop. Yes, it is very good. Hop descriptor number 2.
This is Corsta. The hop plant. comes from Korsta Village, Skerns, that's with an umlaut over the O,
ooh,
Parish near Sundsvall. I wonder if that means like Sunnyvale.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Pardon me.
There might be vampires. hops grow in the same place as a hop farm, which was excellent on a parcel map from 1769 over Korsta Village in Skerns Parish. I think that means there's been a hop farm since 1769 that grew excellent hops.
Yeah.
That's how I'd interpret that.
That's a long time.
Further information about the hops in Korsta Village is also available from 1778. The siblings did not agree on a home split, so it was decided that Olaf Johansson would keep the lottery. and half of Kalixnagen and Humlegarden. Oh, and he would keep half of Kalixgarden and Humlegarden. At the time the hops were collected, they grew in an arable land at the edge of a forest at the corner of a field. Adjacent to the hop farm were the remains of an old barn. When the donor's husband was small in the 1960s, he used to play in two gigantic wooden barrels in which hop cones had previously been stored.
So do you taste any of that?
I get that in beer number two. Mostly the corner of the field. That's what I'm getting. I'm picking up the corner of the field. It's Olaf Johansson.
I'm tasting residue of little boy from the 1960s. I don't know.
Well, he used to play in the wooden barrel.
Okay. On to the three sentences that really are germane.
Well, we can only hope. The cones gave a very good beer during test brewing. Aroma of citrus, grape, and tropical fruits.
Ooh.
Tastes of citrus, grape, and with hints of green grass.
That came off his shoes when he was in the hop barrel.
Yeah. mostly from Kalixgarden and Humlegarden.
Oh.
That was painful. I'll give it to you in the archaic Latin if you'd like.
Now, keep in mind, I could have edited out that whole paragraph about the whole, but I knew it.
I think it's perfect because it's just wonderful. I love it. It's the best description we've had yet.
I want the Swedish University of Agricultural Sciences to do all of our hop descriptions. I think that would be.
I do too.
That would be awesome. No, yeah. It kind of gives a flavor, so to speak, of these hops as being creations of a farm and creations of a family that's been on this farm since, you know, the 1700s. And so it's not like a laboratory that's doing random, you know, breeding of hops to see what they come up with and see what brewers like, and then they push it out on the market. These are hops that have been around for a very long time and, you know, work because you know, people have been using them for generations to brew beer with. And so, I'm laughing at the weird translation and things like that. But I am enjoying the fact that, you know, we have the privilege of tasting these hops from this part of the world that, you know, we don't have access to generally. So,
and not just as part of the world, meaning that, well, I don't know from these descriptions, I don't know. This doesn't really sound like a commercial hop to me. I guess it must be, and it must be grown at least on a limited basis commercially, or
these came in packages, you know, foil package, vacuum sealed foil packages, you know, with the logo of and I wish I had the distributor. But anyway, yeah, this is a commercial product. It's just in very short supply. and we are privileged to have it because Mark has sent them to us. So,
yeah, but like you said, you know, basically it's just, hey, you know, these were, we went around and found some hops, and you know, maybe they tested lots of different farmers' hops, and this guy's were good. I mean, I don't know how they decided, or maybe this guy just provided hops to the local brewery and in the village, and the village made good beer, and
yeah,
you know, for time immemorial, and so maybe that's all you need. And that's really cool because you kind of get back to the original. I mean, all beer was homebrew at one point,
yeah,
you know, or very close to it.
So Corsta, citrus, grape, and tropical fruits, and that's the aroma and taste of citrus and grape with hints of green grass.
Yeah, green grass of home.
So citrus. Yeah. Okay, that was the citrus was mentioned as undertones in the Svalov Moritz, but interesting.
Yeah, okay. But we got more. It was way more on the mushroom, cheese, and leather.
Well, the grape and herbal and spicy. Let's take a quick break between beers to talk about our friends and sponsors at Tavor. If you listen to this show, you know about Tavor. It's a way to select delicious craft beers that you may not be able to find in your area and have them delivered to you. It's not a beer of the month club where someone else chooses random beers for you. You only pay for the beer that you choose over the course of the month. Signing up for Tavor is free. Just create an account at Tavor.com and download their iPhone or Android app, and you'll receive notifications for two new beers each day that are available for purchase with in-depth tasting notes from Philip at Tavor. This month, it's a big one. Look for selections from Foreign Objects, Noon Whistle, Torch and Crown, Texas Ale Project, Fifth Hammer, Windmill, Two Tides, Troubadour Smooge, Aurora Brewing, Best of Hands, Barrel House, Riverlands, and Bricks City. Wow! If you're not interested in the beers that you see, no worries. Just skip the ones you don't want. However, when you see something that you do want, don't wait. Just click on it and add it to your crate. Your beer arrives fresh every few weeks, allowing you enough time to fill a box and pay the least shipping. Why don't you check it out? It doesn't cost anything to sign up, and there's no obligation to purchase anything. In fact, if I can ask you a favor, go to Tavor.com or download the app, and when you sign up, enter the promo code BASICBREWING, all one word, and you'll get $10 off your first shipment of $25 or more. Again, it's free to sign up, and there's no obligation to purchase. Sign up at Tavor.com, T-A-V as in Victor, O-U-R.com, or the Tavor app, and enter Basic Brewing as the promo code. Okay, so we're tasting beer number three.
Beer number three.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
That's a delicious beer.
That might be my favorite. That's good.
Now, we're back to the grapey, in my opinion. Do you get grape in any of these? Or are you tasting grape?
You know, if you hadn't said that, I would have said no. So I'm going to say no.
This one, to me,
is like
strong grape candy grape, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
To me, this is the grapiest of the three.
Okay, I kind of get that.
I mean, not trying to talk you into anything, because I think in the past, I've talked you into the thing. You have made assumptions early on in the episode and have been right, and then I talked you out of them.
Well, I know. I never would have got that 68 Studebaker. That thing was a nightmare.
But I've had people write in or comment on episodes saying, I listened to you guys talk about these hops, or I've listened to you talk about these malts, and I could pick out which ones you were tasting before you guessed, and then you guessed wrong. So,
yeah.
So we just need someone to listen to us talk and then make the correct assumptions, I guess.
Let them guess. I get. I see what you mean about the grape. I don't think I would have described it as grape, though. But I think I know what flavor you're describing. I pick up more of a spicy. What hits my palate more is the spiciness at the end. I get a kind of a peppery finish, and I notice that more. So there's a bit of a sweet, fruity pop at the beginning of the taste experience. So when I first taste it, I get that nice big, you know, kind of juicy, really not juicy fruit gum, but just kind of that big juicy pop.
Yeah.
And I could describe that as grapey. I mean, it's very fruity.
I can go with juicy fruit gum.
Yeah, something like that. And then that dies away pretty quickly. And then there's kind of a middle place where it's maybe a little floral or a little bit spicy. But then when it finishes, I definitely pick up like a black peppercorn sort of thing.
Whew,
or grains of paradise, something like that. And then the beer's done. Then it's over with.
To me,
and it's really nice.
To me, the main flavor, juicy fruit gum would be a good descriptor. But then after I'd swallow and there's that lingering on the tongue, that's where it's like, oh, grape candy. You know, it's not okay, necessarily an artificial grape flavor, but it's on along the lines of, you remember like grape Pop Rocks or, you know, grape the Charms Blow Pop, you know, that kind of grape candy flavor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what lingers on my tongue afterwards. And I'm not sure that I've ever tasted that from a hop before. It's super fruity and super, and it's not like a novelty hop because I'm really enjoying the beer, but it's just
it's just good.
Really fruity.
Yeah.
Mmm. I like that quite a bit.
Yeah. I like it too. It's really good. Boy, they're really good. They're really different too. They're different, but they're also very familiar.
Huh.
So they're not a novelty hop. They're not trying too hard. You know, they haven't been bred to be over the top in any one given area. They're just really nice and. I think they'd work well in any number of beers, but I think you're absolutely right about being well used in a New England IPA or any hop forward where the hop flavor is important.
The third hop descriptor. Right.
This is Hula Norgrad. I'm going to be reading this in Old Russian.
Now, I would have said Hula Norgard.
Norgard, you're right. I'm sorry. Hulla Village consists of several building units in the middle of Österåker's historic hop-growing district. One of them is Hulla Norgard. Even today, the village looks largely like the map of Olaf Tresk in 1634.
Ooh.
Yeah. I've seen that map. It shows that in Hulla, there were 8 hop farms with a total of 640 sturgeons.
Now, I don't think, again, I think Google Translate, I don't think.
I think there are 640 sturgeons, and I'm going to prove it before I go to bed tonight. Hula Norgard is located near Askaban. That can't be right.
Askarboda.
Ask your own Boda. What I say, Askarboda, where the artist Wilhelm Wallander lived temporarily at the end of the 19th century to study the area's hop cultivation. He needed these for his big oil painting, Hop Harvest in Österåker. I can't say it.
Österåker.
Let me try it again. Österåker. Yeah. The woman from... Okay. The woman from... I was just letting that sentence sink in. The women from different farms almost always went together to pick the hop cones from the reefs, in quotes, or in parentheses, in Nutta. And it is not impossible that Wallander's sketch of hop harvesting shows exactly how the collected Hula Norgard is harvested.
See, now there's a painting somewhere from the 1800s of these hops being harvested.
That's right. And it's a big painting.
It's
a big oil painting.
It's 1-to-1 scale.
It's not small.
No.
The cones gave a very good beer with citrus aroma during test brewing. Several observers also noted an aroma of clove.
Mm.
The taste was herbaceous and spicy.
Herbaceous and spicy and citrus and cloves. Hmm.
Yes. Herbaceous, spicy, citrus, and clove.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm. Now, I've forgotten. I'm not looking at my notes. I've forgotten which hop variety was the one that was with the whole cones. But looking at these three cups, which sample do you think was the whole cone hop?
Well, I haven't found any debris in any of these. So.
No, I filtered. What I did was, and usually what I do is I transfer all of the contents of the brew pot into the fermenter, hops and trube and all. This time, I didn't want to, you know, I like to call whole cones hop sponges or wort sponges, you know, because they soak up all the wort. So what I did was I lined my funnel with a nylon bag and poured the wort through that and collected the hops and kept them out of the wort when it was in the fermenter. So
nice.
So that's a difference. Is there a beer? I mean, go ahead and say, is there a beer that you suspect would be the whole cone?
I have to first say that I have absolutely no idea how to decide this. So I'm going to say it's number three. I'm going to say that because I think it has the kind of the most hop flavor. I don't even know why I'm saying my criteria is just made up. I just feel like a fraud, but it has a really, the hop flavor is really full and fresh, and it's everything that I think a hop cone ought to bring to it. But I would contend though, and I do believe this, so I'm going to talk out of the other side of my mouth, that hop pellets properly preserved and packaged will give you a fresher beer, a fresher tasting beer.
Yeah.
But I'm still sticking with it. I think number three is the hop cone beer.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say number one is the hop cone beer, just because, I mean, besides the carbonation, and it's the carbonation was weird, but the appearance of number one was slightly different from the other two. Two and three seem to be more hop forward and sort of more hop flavorful.
Right.
Number one had a really good hop character, but it was more delicate than number two and three. So I would say number one, and again, I can't remember which. And it helps that these are, you know, Swedish words that I don't I don't know, and I can't remember the one that was the, you know, the whole cone. But I'm going to say sample number one was the whole hop, whole leaf. It's not really leaves, but the whole cone hop, and the other two were the pellets. Now, as far as which variety was which, we're on the same grounds because, again, I can't remember which one was the whole cone. But do you have any – I'll let you go first. Do you have any guesses on which variety was which?
Well, I didn't until that last description when it mentioned the clove.
Mm.
And I felt like I picked up a peppery, almost clove-like character out of the second beer. So I'm, based on that alone, I'm going to go with the Hoola Norgard as the number two beer.
Mm.
And and then I'm going to go with the number three beer as being the Svalaf Moritz beer, and number one as being the, you know, I just don't know, as the Korsta beer, but that's what I'm going to go with.
You know, I think I'm going to agree with you. So you're saying number one would be the Korsta, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I agree with that because it's got aromas of citrus, grape, and tropical fruits, taste of citrus grape with hints of green grass. I would go with
right.
that. The Hoola Norgard is the clove and the and mm-hmm. Herbaceous, and you say that was number two.
Yes.
And then number three, you know, I said had kind of a more general fruit flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Floral with undertones of citrus, grape, and herbal slash spicy. I think that would go in number three. So we're
two. And it also has a kind of a savoriness about it too, not in a overbearing way, but I can kind of pick up where you might attribute a little bit of a mushroomy leather. I don't get cheese.
No, but, I don't get cheese in any of these. But if you boil it longer, you would get cheese. Okay.
Maybe. And they get some weird cheeses in Scandinavia, too, so we don't know what's going on up there.
It's to go with the Swedish meatballs.
That's right.
And the flat furniture. Okay, now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to reveal the whole cone hop, and that was Svalaf Moritz, which we guessed was number three, let's look at number one, which we said was more I conned you into saying was the whole hop.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, you said which one? No, you said number three was a whole hop.
Yeah, I said number three was whole hop.
Okay, all right.
So I got that part right.
Okay, well, I don't know. We don't know. So number one, we're peeling number one. Number one was the Svalaf Moritz. It was the whole.
Ah.
It was the whole hop, the whole cone.
Okay.
All right.
So you got that right. You got that right.
I got the guessing which was the whole cone. But I thought number one, I went with you and said number one was the Korsta. Number two is actually the Hoola Norgard. We got that right.
Yeah.
So we switched. Number three, peeling. Yeah, number three is the Korsta. So we just switched number one and number three as far as the varieties.
So you got them all right, though.
No, I went with you on the varieties, but I did get. I did get that number one was the whole cone.
Got it.
And there was a to me there was a difference. The intensity, and I don't know whether it was because of the pellets or whether it was because the hops stayed in the fermenter during fermentation. You know, and got agitated mm-hmm. around, you know, with the mm-hmm. with the yeast. But mm-hmm. to me, number one was a less hop-forward experience, a more delicate hop experience. So I got that part right, but then we switched number one and number three. This Svalaf Moritz was described as herbal, spicy, citrus grape, mushroom, cheese, and leather. That's the one I thought was like appley and peary with some grape. Hoola Norgard, which we got right, was described as cloves and herbaceous and spicy. That was the one that was kind of middle of the road. We got that one right. And then the Corsta, the Corsta was the citrus, grape, and tropical fruits with hints of green grass. Right. So we just flipped the grapey ones.
Yeah. But I'll swear the green grassy was, I mean, we got them wrong according to the descriptors. I don't know that we got them wrong according to our palates. I mean, you know, so who's wrong? I mean, I contend the description's wrong.
Well, we come across this a bunch where, you know, it's like, well, that's the descriptor, but that's not what I got. And again, it might be, you know, who knows where they added the hops in their test batch, you know, that might have changed the chemical characteristics of the hop.
Yeah.
This was gobs of fun. This was just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I would be glad to you know, share all of these with you so that you can put your spin on them and see what you can come up with as well.
I'd brew with them.
And thanks.
I kind of wanted to brew again.
And many, many thanks again to Marcus Sandquist or Sandquist in Åtvidaberg, Sweden, for thinking of us and for sending the hops. And this was a lot of fun, and I look forward to having more fun, you know, brewing bigger batches with these hops now that we know what they taste like.
Yeah, no kidding. And I didn't know that hops were grown in Sweden until this show.
Well,
I didn't know it at all.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. We'll talk to you next time.
Cheers.
Thanks again to Steve, and a special thank you again to Marcus in Sweden for sending the hops. I hope Marcus had as much fun as we did listening to the show. Look for more experimentation with those and to see what Steve comes up with. I can't wait for that. Yum! If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to James at basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our mobile-friendly shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies always coming your way. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. So until next time, until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dotson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. In the meantime, stay well and stay tuned and stay warm. So long.